18. On Parnassus, 10 years ago. Siv woke up on her back, staring at the white ceiling. When she sat up, she was dizzy, and her companions were likewise half asleep around her. Tiny black droids scooted among them, drying the floor, but Siv was still wet. TB3 stood over them, fidgeting.
I did warn you. You're employees now, and you cannot shirk your contractual obligations, praise to the creators.
Still muddled, Siv asked, Why do you keep saying that? Praise to the creators. TB3 proudly tapped a badge on his shining white chest. He'd been polished since bringing them to the station, all evidence of the gray sand buffed away.
The Constar Mining Corporation landed here 186 years ago. We were built and activated on Parnassus by our creators, who designed us to perfectly perform our duties. Once the facility was under proper management and the human personnel had arrived, the creators left. Time passed, and we experienced temporary signal interference. We can no longer communicate with the creators or the other stations. Our human contingent, well, we have been waiting ever since. For the creators, we are very pleased you've arrived.
But we're not.
Phasma interrupted her. We're happy to be here.
Very good. I hope you will consider bathing and dressing in your uniforms now. Poor D-477 was quite disturbed by your insubordination. You will need to eat before your shift, and punctuality is important.
Siv looked to Phasma, and Phasma just shook her head.
We're happy to comply.
TB3 led them to a room filled with spraying water and requested they disrobe and bathe. Siv was loath to trust the droid with her weapons, and the troopers were likewise adamant about their armor, but TB3 showed them lockers in which to store their belongings. When Phasma didn't argue and placed her axe and spear in the metal box, Siv had little choice but to follow. It was strange to be without her scythes, and she was dumbfounded by the feeling of bathing, nude, with Constar soap. A warm wind machine dried them, and a new version of D-477 gave her strange, light clothes with a Constar badge on the chest, just like the one TB3 wore with pride. They were instructed to follow the yellow line to the cafeteria, where they were served identical foods on identical plastic trays. Following Phasma's lead, Siv ate the food, which all had the same texture, but vastly different flavors and colors. The drink, served from a pouch, had the tang of minerals about it. Once the food was gone, she stood with her friends, now co-workers, to empty her tray and follow the blue line to the turbo lift, which took them down into the mine. When Siv told me this story, she was still astounded by how different the station was from the Skyer. Everything was clean and sharp and cool, with smooth walls and perfect corners and cold lights that sometimes flickered but never went out. She had to learn words she'd never heard before, understand how to perform the repetitive work demanded of her. After a few hours, it was as if her hands had been made to hold the handle and push the cart. She wore her hard hat and goggles and did everything she was asked to do, a team of helpful droids instructing and overseeing her. At each new task, everyone looked to Phasma. Instead of a mask, claws, and weapons, Phasma wore her crisp uniform, and although she didn't smile, she watched everything that happened, her bright blue eyes darting to every control pad and console they passed. Secretive looks passed among them all. They were biding time, and they knew it. Siv's hands were blistered by the time a blinking green light announced the end of their shift. She put down her jackhammer and pushed her cart to the turbo lift, where she stood quietly between Phasma and Torben. They followed the green line to the barracks, where they changed into their sleeping clothes and slipped into their assigned bunks. It was the most comfortable place Siv had ever been, with plenty of room to stretch out completely and turn in any direction she desired without feeling the warning creak of a net or the grainy slither of sand. But she wasn't sleepy.
None of them were. They were just waiting until the door closed, leaving them alone in darkness and silence.
This is crazy,
one of the troopers said. It was the one Brendel had shouted at, PT something. After that outburst, the troopers had kept their distance from the Skyr folk, but with Brendel gone, perhaps he felt it was safe to speak. Out of his helmet and armor, he seemed so much smaller and like any other man, not a stranger from beyond the stars.
We need to play along until we can get Brendel, Phasma said, her voice low.
The trooper nodded.
Yeah, he'll understand more about the droids and their programming. We know how to take them down individually, but we can't fight 47 droids without our weapons, not to mention whoever runs the control room.
And there could still be people.
True.
What's your name?
Siv asked, feeling bold.
Not the number Brendel called you, but your real name. It feels wrong that you know our names, but we don't know yours.
He gave a wry grin.
We don't have names. The First Order only gives us numbers. I'm PT-2445, and this is LE-2003.
He nodded to the woman.
And HF-0518.
He nodded to the man.
Your names are hard to say,
Gosta said.
Can I call you Petey?
For a moment, PT-2445 looked kind and amused.
That's more of a child's name, but I suppose you can think of me as Pete when the general isn't around.
And that would make me Ellie, the female trooper said. And you're Huff. The third trooper, now Huff, scowled.
That's not even a name. Ah, but we don't have names, do we?
Pete said, and the troopers shared a private chuckle.
Enough about your names. I want to leave. These clothes are useless,
Torben said. His uniform was too small for him and could barely stretch over his shoulders.
Can't fight in them? They can't stop a blade? No wonder they have trouble keeping people here.
Siv laughed, grateful for a moment of mercy in the strange place. But Phasma was having none of their jocularity.
Then we all agree, she said sharply. We do as the droids ask until Brendel is with us, and then...
And then?
Gosta asked.
And then we turn the tables.
Time passed in a blur for several days, or at least what Siv assumed was days. They couldn't see the sky and had no concept of time. Sleep, then food, then work, then food, then work, then sleep. It was monotonous being an employee of the Khonstar Mining Corporation. The droids she encountered when walking down the halls or delivering her cart full of ore were cheerful and helpful, but she never saw another person, and she didn't entirely trust the droids or feel safe around them. She longed for life outside, even if it was harsh. At least it was honest. Two sleep cycles later, Brendel Hux appeared at breakfast. His skin was paler than usual, blotchy with purple bags under his eyes, and his uniform, although clean and pressed, fit a little looser. As soon as he saw them, he hurried over with TB-3 shuffling anxiously in his wake.
What the devil are you wearing?
He barked, staring at them each in turn.
Our uniforms, sir,
one of the troopers said, his eyes cutting to the hovering droid.
We've been indentured to the Khonstar Mining Corporation to pay your medical debts.
Brendel turned a peculiar shade of red and began to splutter, but Phasma waved a hand.
It's only 60 days each, she said with a smirk. I feel certain our time here will be worthwhile, but we must remain calm. We angered one of the droids recently and were punished harshly.
Good behavior is expected of Khonstar employees. Praise to the creators,
TB-3 agreed.
You should get a tray and join us, Phasma said. Our work shifts are long, and you'll be hungry.
Work shift? I nearly died. I barely survived in the medbay under those butchers. I can't work,
Brendel stormed.
General,
one of the troopers began. Phasma interrupted him.
If there's one thing we've learned here, it's that insubordination is punished, so we're happy to help you acclimate. I feel certain our time will pass swiftly under our watchful hosts. The smile she aimed at TB3 was cold enough to freeze water, but the droid didn't notice.
You are a model employee, Phasma.
Brendel's mouth twitched as he considered the situation, but in the end, he fetched his tray like everyone else. Once he was settled, TB3 left. They knew well enough by now to follow the blue line to the turbo lift for their shift when the bell rang. As Brendel approached the table with his breakfast, Phasma slid over to make room. He sat, contemplating the tray as if it were filled with slime.
This is madness, he said.
We know,
Phasma answered, leaning close to whisper.
But we can't escape without you. We can kill the droids one by one, but your troopers don't know how to shut down the system. There are too many of them, and they are always watching. And listening.
She inclined her head to the cafeteria droid frozen in place by the trays.
We need to find the control room.
Brendel tried the food and nearly spit it out.
And quickly.
Tonight. They're least attentive at night. I've made several forays and encountered no droids.
Siv was shocked to learn that Phasma had ventured out of the room at night without her, without any of the Skyre warriors. She gave Torben an inquisitive look, and he shrugged. Poor Gosta looked just as surprised as she was. They had always known Phasma's plans before.
Good,
Brendel said, and he continued eating with the arm that had nearly killed him. An arm that was still whole.
How is your wound?
Siv asked, because she had never seen someone recover from the fever before. Brendel rolled up his sleeve to show her. The skin wolf's gash was a neat pink line, and his arm was a normal color. All signs of infection were gone. No redness, no streaks, no foul pus. Siv nodded her approval, but inside she was filled to the brim with a new sense of hope. The medicines here truly were miracles. If Brendel's First Order had such curatives available, it was imperative that they claim his ship and get off the planet, no matter the cost. Their two work shifts took forever, and then they were finally back in the barracks for the night. Phasma and Brendel held a whispered discussion, and soon they were ready to move. Instead of following the red, yellow, green, or blue lines, they hurried to the showers, where they traded their Constar nightclothes for their regular clothes and weapons, and slathered on their Oracle salve in preparation for their escape. Brendel was the only one who didn't need to change, and he spent his time identifying cams that might be watching them.
They're recording, he mused, and yet no one has come to stop us.
An issue I discovered days ago, while you were still in the medbay. Instead of pondering that, let's take advantage of it,
Phasma snapped, pulling down her mask. Siv felt better the moment she was back in her leathers, and she grinned at Torben, grateful to see him looking like himself again, and happy to feel the weight of her scythes on her hips. She caught Phasma studying the troopers as they put on their armor and checked their guns. She'd known Phasma since they'd been children, and yet she was seeing a new side of her leader. Phasma had always been dedicated to power, but now she was hungry for more than just stability in the Skyre. She coveted the armor, the blasters, the tech. Siv began to wonder if perhaps Phasma wanted it too much. Back in the hall, they followed Brendel as he read the plaque beside each door. Siv had her scythes out, ready to face down any of the droids that might challenge them. Oddly, none appeared. Not even the little mouse droids that always seemed to show up when the slightest bit of dirt marred the gleaming floor. Finally, Brendel found what he was looking for. He tapped the plaque and said,
Control room. This is it. My soldiers will go first, since blasters will do more damage to metal, and we've only seen droids thus far. Should there be any sentient beings within, feel free to subdue them.
Phasma nodded, and Brendel pressed something on the wall. The door slid open and the troopers fanned inside, blasters up. But they didn't shoot. Seconds had passed before a trooper called,
All clear, sir.
and Brendel led the rest of them inside. Without being asked, Torben remained outside as a guard. In the Skyar, one never went into a tight space without a friend to stand watch. It was all too easy to get trapped. The room inside was like all the other rooms, white and pristine. There was no one within to threaten. The troopers had their blasters up, and Siv realized that with their armor on, there was no way to tell them apart. They were no longer Pete, Ellie, and Huff. They were just faceless soldiers. Brendel went directly to a bank of machines that beeped, blinked, and flashed strange symbols. Screens all around the room showed various images of the station, including all the rooms Siv had seen, and many more. One room, to her horror, was filled with human bodies piled haphazardly. At least they weren't fresh from what she could see. In another room, she was surprised to see all the droids standing in neat rows, holding perfectly still with TB3 facing them at the front. But her attention was drawn back to Brendel. His fingers flew over a keyboard, and Phasma stood nearby, watching his every move.
"Come on," Brendel grumbled at it, poking buttons and twisting dials.
He must have done something important, as all the lights clicked off, leaving them in complete darkness. The gentle hum of machines always in the background wound down to silence. The air, which was a constant and regular cool, went still and stale, and carried the unmistakable tang of death.
"Just give it a moment," Brendel said, and he was right.
A red glow softly filled the room.
"What's happening?" Phasma asked.
"I've turned off the main power and shut down the droids. I'll give it a few moments before rebooting. The droids, however, will remain deactivated."
"Meaning?"
"Meaning the lights and air circulators will be on, while the insane droids will be off. There don't seem to be any other beings about, and if there were, they'd be running right here to stop us."
The lights came back up and the screens flickered back on, but nothing else happened. Siv watched the door, waiting for Torben to call out or for some new threat to appear, but neither happened. Brendel clicked away until he found what he was looking for.
"These records show that the only remaining supervisor is Dr. Kirig Rion, but that's all I can find. Does anyone see him on a screen somewhere?"
"I think I found him,"
Gosta murmured. She stood in front of one of the screens. On it, the remains of a man sat at a large desk, a blaster on the table before him. Brendel glanced quickly and nodded.
"That's what his nameplate says. So now we know what happened. The only thing worse than unsupervised people without a leader and a purpose is a bunch of droids in the same situation. I don't think there's anyone else here to challenge us."
"But what are they doing?"
Siv asked, pointing to the screen that showed the droids lined up perfectly in rows. Brendel walked over to look more closely.
"It's almost as if they're worshipping something. See how their heads are bowed and their hands folded? Strange behavior."
"They're creators,"
Siv said softly, pointing to the wall behind TB3 where a huge Constar Mining Corporation logo was painted.
"They just want their creators to come back."
Brendel shook his head.
"This is why droids need routine maintenance. Their programming goes strange and they start to act...
human?"
He gave her a sharp look.
"Mad."
"But they were kind to us. They healed you. They were only doing their jobs. And they were so happy to see us. Can't you turn them back on after we've left?"
"No,"
Phasma said, moving to stand beside Siv.
"We can't risk anything that could imperil the mission. They might disable the vehicles, lock the doors, or have access to weapons,"
Brendel agreed.
"It's better this way. Droids were never meant to be people. They're only meant to serve the purpose of their masters."
Siv couldn't help glancing at the troopers to see their reaction to their superior's words, but their expressions were concealed by their armor. When she looked to Gosta, the younger girl merely shook her head, clearly out of her depth. With Torben still outside, Siv was the only person who felt for the droids. With a stroke of a few keys, Brendel had effectively destroyed their civilization and wiped out their personalities and purposes. Even if they weren't people with feelings, it still seemed cruel.
"When I am among your people, will I learn to operate these machines?" Phasma asked, pointing at the keyboard Brendel had used.
"If you wish."
"I look forward to it, General Hux," Phasma said.
Although Siv couldn't see Phasma's face under her mask, she knew her leader was smiling.
With the droids disabled, it didn't take them long to find the hangar. Brendel walked inside, moving from object to object, considering. The hulking shapes made little sense to Siv, but Brendel knew what he was looking for. Finally, he stood in front of a row of pointy metal machines.
"These are speeder bikes," he said. "And those big blocky ones with the turrets are ground assault vehicles, or GAVs. The speeders are made to fly over ground, and the GAVs were designed to move through sand or other rugged conditions. I would suggest my troopers take speeders as they're already trained, and they can scout ahead and behind us. The rest of us can ride in a GAV, which will also have room to carry our packs."
"What powers them?" Phasma asked. Brendel gave her a patronizing sort of smile.
"That's very complicated, but the GAV is the only one we need to worry about. If the tank is full, it should get us as far as we need to go. We'll take another barrel of fuel with us just in case. See here? It has a slot made for it. We only need to get to my ship, after all. Once we're there, the First Order will take care of everything else."
Always curious, Siv couldn't help exploring the enormous room while Brendel and his troopers prepared the vehicles. She found another set of lockers like the ones from the showers. They were unlocked, and some held folded clothes or polished boots, while others held weapons.
"We can take anything we want, can't we?" Siv asked, amazed.
"These old clothes are useless," Phasma said, dumping a pile of fabric on the floor and picking up a short, smooth boot that wouldn't last a day on the Skyr's rocks. "Whatever these people did to survive clearly didn't work. We know we can count on our boots. We made them ourselves of leather, stitched them by hand with sinew. Who knows how long this thing will last, or if it will rip at the first jab of knife or claw."
"But if we're going to join Brendel's people, won't everything be like this?"
Siv held up a shirt so soft and fine that it felt like a light breeze would blow it away. Phasma shook her head.
"I was born for that armor. We've seen how strong it is. Baldur's people didn't even make a dent during the fight. Things like this," she took the shirt from Siv and ripped it in half, "were never for me."
"So strange."
Siv walked down the row of lockers, running calloused fingers over the metal.
"Our ancestors used these things. Lived here? Worked here? Who knows if they came to Parnassos on purpose or were brought here unwillingly? They tried to make a life here, and then everything just fell apart."
Phasma pulled a blaster out of a bag and grinned.
"They weren't strong enough. We are. This planet is dying, but we will make a new life in the stars."
She handed another smaller blaster to Siv. Siv took the gun, noting the strange smoothness of the grip, how light and simple it seemed. This weapon could do more damage than both of Siv's blades, and from farther away. If not for the troopers' blasters, the Skin Wolves might have bested their entire group. Siv smiled.
"We just need a way to tie the blasters on, and we can find extra ones for Gosta and Torben."
Phasma opened all the lockers, tossing out their contents as if searching for something in particular. Siv sorted through them, collecting blasters and other items that seemed useful. Finally, Phasma held up her prize, a helmet. It wasn't much like the smooth, rounded stormtrooper helmets. Beat up and painted in bright colors, it had a black line across the eyes, another black line from the nose to the chin, and a tiny antenna poking up from the top. Phasma took off her mask and put it on, then reached for the matching heavy-duty gloves and a chest plate. Siv told me it was like watching a droid be assembled piece by piece. Phasma began to look less and less like an animal and more like a trooper. Under that helmet, she could be anyone or no one. She didn't even seem human.
"There will be no stopping us now," Phasma said.